Good afternoon, folks. It's 5 p.m. Tuesday, September the 27th, 2022. Called City Council meeting into session. We start our meeting with an invocation and a pledge. The invocation will be led by Councilmember Nash, the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Cantorino. Join us if you'd like.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for all of our council members, our mayor, the leadership of this city, that we will be able to direct the path of what it is that we need to do, not for selfish means, but for the greater good of all. Thank you. Amen.
Please join us in our pledge to our nation's flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To the Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Next item on the agenda is item three, roll call. Spencer H. Smith, mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, mayor pro tem.
Jennifer McCann, mayor pro tem, is present.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, place two.
Michael Blomquist, councilman, place two, is present.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three.
Tony Cantorino, place three, present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four.
Linda Nash, place four, present.
Okay, thank you. Sam Hallaby, place five.
Sam Hallaby, place five, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you very much. And we do have a quorum. Next item is item number four, mayoral proclamations and presentations. Number one, present the municipal court with the 2022 Municipal Traffic Safety Award from the Texas Municipal Courts Education Center. Texas Municipal Courts Education Center, 2022 Municipal Traffic Safety Award presented to Parker Heights Municipal Court, low volume court category, recognized for their outstanding accomplishments in the area of traffic safety and impaired driving prevention. Signed, Ryan Kellis Turner, Executive Officer, June 15th, 2022. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to say a few quick words about this. For all categories, there's only 24 cities in the state of Texas that win this award, and frankly, there's quite a few that have more resources than we do. You may have heard of these cities: Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, and Harker Heights. I really think there's a standard of excellence in this city in a lot of ways, and we like to say it, but there's standards that the state has, and there's categories, and several of the staff said, oh, do we win it again? And I said, you know, there's some cities that are celebrating because they made honorable mention this year, and they haven't. But again, we all are part of this city. You all help lead this city. Hope this is just another sign of the quality that we have here. But again, this is who makes it happen on a daily basis. All right? So again, thank you, everybody. Thank you, staff. We're happy to bring it home one more time. All right? Thank you.
I know. I saw that.
Next item, item number two is proclamation declaring October 2022 as Fire Prevention Month and October 9 through 15, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week. City Parker Heights 2022 Fire Prevention Week and Month Proclamation. Whereas the City of Parker Heights, Texas is devoted to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting our great city. And whereas October represents the 100th anniversary of Fire Prevention Week, the nation's longest running health observance on record. And whereas home fires kill more than 2,580 people in the United States in 2020, according to the National Fire Protection Association, and fire departments in the United States responded to 356,500 home fires. And whereas smoke alarms sense smoke well before you can, alerting you to danger in the event of fire in which you may have as little as 2 minutes to escape safely. And whereas the Harker Heights Fire Department is dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protection education. And whereas the 2022 Fire Prevention Week theme, Fire Won't Wait, Plan Your Escape, effectively serves to remind us it is important to learn the different sounds of smoke and carbon monoxide alarms. Therefore, I, Spencer H. Smith, Mayor of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2022 as Fire Prevention Month and October 9th through 15th, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week throughout the city. And I urge all our citizens to remain vigilant by planning and practicing a home escape plan. In witness whereof, I've set unto my name, my hand caused the seal of the City of Harker Heights to be affixed this 27th day of September, 2022.
Mayor, thanks.
Just a word for us.
We're always appreciative of these types of proclamations, but the team is always ready to step up and do what they can for our community. And we've got a great Fire Marshal's Division over here, a great staff in the operations, and we're just grateful to be able to be a part of the city. So thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, the next item on the agenda is paragraph 5, consent items. Number 1, discuss and consider approving the minutes of the meeting held on September 13th, 2022, and take the appropriate action. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on September 13th, 2022.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to second.
Okay. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay. Seeing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, place two. How do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three. How do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, place three. I vote yes.
Thank you. Linda Nash, place four. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four. I vote yes.
Thank you. Sam Hallaby, place five. How do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, place five. Vote yes.
Thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item on the agenda is paragraph six, presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code, section 551.042 prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. And again, I have a green sheet. Ms. Capito, do you want to talk now or later on?
It doesn't matter. I can do it now.
Okay, the council will be in the receive mode on this. So,
okay.
Yeah, we won't discuss it, but you can have your 3 minutes.
I don't need a discussion.
Okay, well, please. Please state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Tina Capito, and my address is 2600 White Moon Drive, Harker Heights, Texas. And really, I'm just here today to, I really think sometimes we deserve kudos in life, and I really want to give that to the city of Harker Heights Parks and Rec Department for all that they're doing and really being an inclusive city, including our special needs children, and making sure that they are getting to participate in athletic activities. And not only that, but the staff just go above and beyond in everything that they're doing for the kids. And I know sometimes that parents often get frustrated with their own children or the situation, but really we should be commending them for how well they're doing, not only with how they interact with parents, but how they're interacting with the children and going above and beyond at every athletic event that I've been. And I've been here since 2009, so I just want to make sure that we are recognizing them.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to address the council at this time? Anyone else that would like to make a presentation at this time? Okay, I do have another green sheet, and even though it's going to be regular business, Ellie Bohack, are you here? We'll go ahead and we'll have you speak when we address that during regular business on that item that you've identified, okay? Okay, again, one more time, anyone wants to make a presentation to the City Council? Okay, seeing none, we'll close that and we'll move on to paragraph seven, public hearings. And there has been a change in our schedule, and I'll go ahead and read these items. On item seven, number one, under public hearings, public hearing on wastewater impact fees will be postponed. For all those who are here to speak on this topic, your comments will be received and recorded. Please note that this will not be an official public hearing, so City Council and staff will be in the receive mode only. Per Local Government Code 395.047, the City Council will hold a special meeting on October 4th to set the date of the public hearing. The public notice announcing the official public hearing date will then appear in the Clean Daily Herald on Sunday, October 9th. Based on the publication date, the earliest date the public hearing can be held is November 15th, 2022. Is there anyone in the chambers that wishes to speak to this item to address the council on the impact fees item? And again, we will not be addressing that tonight. There will be no vote on that item tonight. Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move on. We'll close that on number one, close that public hearing, and that was the only one that we had. So we'll move on to paragraph eight, since the public hearings have been closed, to item eight, number one. to discuss and consider approving an amended resolution of the City Council of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, authorizing the city manager to execute an advanced funding agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation for a surface transportation program Metropolitan Mobility Project, Warriors Path Phase 2 project, and authorizing local funding share and take the appropriate action. Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor. The City Council approved resolution number 2022-22 on July 26th, authorizing a local funding amount of $716,204 for the Warriors Path Phase 2 project advanced funding agreement with TxDOT. TxDOT has requested the City Council to amend the resolution to include $97,403.74 of direct state costs listed in Attachment B. If you look at Attachment B, it has changed. They took out the engineering. The direct state costs were always there. TxDOT would like them in this amended resolution is the only change. Just to recap, the K-Tempo, the Colleen Temple Metropolitan Planning Organization, allocated $3,581,020 in Category 7 funds to the city for construction of the Warriors Path Phase 2 project. The program requires a minimum of 20% local funding in the amount of $716,204 and then the $97,403.74 of direct state costs for a project total of $813,607.74. And as before, the city will be responsible for 100% of all cost overruns for the construction of the project. The let date is still scheduled for August 2023, and the project is budgeted in the 2023-24 Capital Improvement Fund. And I'll be glad to answer any questions for you.
Okay, thank you. And Council, any questions for the, Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Mr. Hyde, in the event that we're on time or early and we actually save money, how will they break that money back and give it back to the entities?
If we're under budget, the project total, yes. I've never seen that happen, but I can.
All right, I was just curious. I mean, because we always talk about the negative of overruns. You know, we're responsible for 100%. I'm just like, well, if somebody does their job and does it well and performs, how does that come back?
Yes, sir. I can certainly look into that and get you an answer for that.
All right, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Councilmember Nash.
This is Councilmember Nash, Place 4. Good evening, Mr. Hyde. For the direct state costs, what exactly is that? What does that entail?
Okay, let me go back to the... you go to page 82 there in your attachments. That's the attachment B. So the direct state costs... we'll see. So on the left column, you'll see environmental direct state cost, $3,581.02. That's for the environmental team to look over the project, basically their time and wages. Right-of-way direct state cost, $358. Engineering direct state cost, $17,905. Utility direct state cost, $358. And then the construction direct state costs. So these projects, these federal and state funded projects have a lot of oversight, a lot of employees involved, looking at the contract, looking at the bidding, and then when the project is underway, we have site visits. These employees from TxDOT come out and check the site probably every 2 weeks. So all of those costs are rolled into this project, and that would be our part of the direct state costs.
So when we do our, when we send out a bid and we put the bid out there, are we to anticipate that these direct state costs will always come in there, there will always be one in future projects?
Yes, ma'am. Anything that is funded through K-Tempo where you receive the state and federal funding would include these costs.
All right, any other questions from the council for Mr. Hyde? Mr. Hyde, do you have anything else to add to your brief?
No, sir. Again, this is just an amendment, just some housekeeping. And definitely the Public Works recommends authorizing the city manager to execute the advanced funding agreement for the Warriors Path Phase 2 project with the Texas Department of Transportation.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, this is regular business. Do I have a motion from the council? Halaby.
Sam Halaby, place 5. We make a motion to approve an amended resolution authorizing the city manager to execute an advance funding agreement for the Warriors Path Phase 2 project with the Texas Department of Transportation.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place 2. I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, place 2. How do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place 2. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place 3. How do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Lyndon Ash, place 4. How do you vote?
Lyndon Ash, place 4. I vote yes.
Thank you. Sam Halaby, place 5. How do you vote?
Sam Halaby, place 5. Vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously 5-0. Item number 2 under regular business, discuss and consider approving a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arkwright, Texas to authorize an agreement with Vigilant Solutions to provide services and equipment related to the digital license plate reader program in the amount of $61,210 through the Homeland Security Grant. Authorize the city manager to act and sign on behalf of the city and take the appropriate action. Chief of Police.
Good afternoon. Patel Hawkins, Police Chief. In February of 2021, Arkwright Police Department proposed a resolution to the City Council to participate in the Homeland Security Grant funding the digital license plate reader equipment and services. 3 license plate cameras will be purchased and installed on the camera Arkwright Police Department patrol vehicle, and it enables us patrol officers to patrol all street areas and within the city with equipment and detect vehicles that have been identified in criminal cases. Additional license plate cameras will be purchased with this grant and will be included with a speed traffic survey trailer. The trailer would have capabilities of conducting speed surveys with an interactive display for motorists to observe and gain voluntary compliance and collect vehicular data intelligence with 2 onboard license plate cameras. The City Council approved this proposed resolution and the grant application was submitted for consideration. The digital license plate reader grant was approved in an amount of $61,210. Our police department has identified Vigilant as a preferred source provider. And I do want to annotate that they are part of our HDAC purchasing group. And on your write-up, we have a buy board, but it's not, I want to make a correction. They're part of our HGA purchasing group. And we stand before you today to get authorization for the city manager to enter into an agreement with Vigilant to get the license plate readers. And I'm here to answer any question. I also have Commander Steffick, who wrote the grant and is the author of the grant. And I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Any questions from the council? Councilmember Nash.
This is Councilmember Nash, place 4. Good evening, Chief. So how do the license plate cameras work? Are they mounted on something, or are the police officers having them in the car? How do they work?
We actually have two kind, and I'm actually bring Commander Stavik. He did a great job doing all the research and everything, but there's two different ways. He's our traffic guru. So let me...
Good evening. Randy Stavik, Arkansas Police Department. To answer your question, so they're fixed cameras, basically highly sophisticated cameras that are able to detect and capture the license plate information off of vehicles, and it processes it through special software through Vigilance Solutions. And what that does is it basically crosses that information off the license plate information through the database to see if it's on any kind of watch lists, current investigations, wanted individuals, anti-terrorism type stuff. It goes through a plethora of databases so that we can help identify what the vehicle may be a part of and if we need to take any type of law enforcement action on it at that point. But they would be fixed to, there's three cameras that would be affixed to an actual patrol car, so it would be mobile throughout the city as much as we can. And then there's two other cameras that will be attached to the speed radar trailer that Chief was talking about. Those are fixed as well. They do not have anything to do with speed. It's not like they're not going to be issuing any tickets or nothing like that. It's two separate programs. Just one feature is doing the LPR. The other feature is doing the speed monitoring and awareness. So two separate things, but they do not integrate.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So does that mean they're like the cousin to the, when you're going and you run the red light and they get your license plate?
Nope.
No?
Well, it's close to the technology because it is capturing the license plate information. However, there's no enforcement action being taken at all based upon the cameras. It has to be observed by an officer, actually.
Okay. And we actually kind of share a database with, I don't know if you see the tow trucks when they drive around, that when they are able to read the license plate to get information that's associated with that technology.
So we'll be able to review that data as well as what we are collecting as well.
Okay, I do have another one. I'm sorry. So once you collect it, then what do you do with it?
So all of that information is actually utilizing the services through Vigilance Solutions. That information is basically pushed through their servers, through DPS, Texas Department of Public Safety. They have a specific license plate reader portal, if you will, that all entities that are participating in the license plate reader program, all of that data goes into one source with the state, and then that is monitored by them, and it's filtered through and all that, but it just stays in their secure portal.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Cantorino.
Yes, Tony Cantorino, place three. Will the initial grant cover after the sale services like software updates and stuff like that and support?
Yes. So the way the grant was written is the agreement that we're coming before you to get permission to sign tonight is for 1 year. However, the grant itself is funding for 3 years worth of services.
Okay. 3 years.
Okay. Mayor Smith, I got a question. So how does this integrate with, since we have a transient community here and having Fort Hood here, how does it work with non-Texas license plates?
Same thing. It's not 100% able to read every license plate, but it does the best that the technology is able to do. So out-of-state plates, Texas plates, they all will read as best as we can, and if it's on a watch list or something along those lines, it will get inputted into the system.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Mitchell?
Yes, just to piggyback on Councilmember Nash's comments earlier, if we are going through, say, a parking lot and the camera picks up, say it's a vehicle of a wanted suspect, what happens at that point? What does the software enable us to do?
So what that's going to do, what it in theory will look like is it'll flag, it'll give an alert, audible and visual, with a picture of the license plate that it was flagged with. It'll give us the source as far as where it's being alerted from, if it's a wanted file, if it's a stolen vehicle file, et cetera. And then it will give, the picture of the vehicle so the officer knows what to go back and look for. We'll go back, we'll do our investigation. If we need to sit on it, wait, make initial stop on it, whatever we need to do, we'll weigh that out as tactically as we can and then take the enforcement action to recover whatever, if it's a stolen vehicle per se or if it's a wanted person, make the arrest.
Well, we get the information pretty quickly.
Yes.
And we can take action right away if we need to.
Just to add to that, we've also utilized this service there's a commercial product with this as well where you can use the data that's collected from all other LPRs in the community. So Colleen has got a contract with this company as well, and we've been able to use their information they've sent to us saying, hey, we had a hit over at Market Heights, for example, or a Walmart, wherever, of a stolen vehicle because one of the tow truck operators drove through that lot. And it flagged on our system from the law enforcement side that there was a stolen car there. So they would send us the notification to say, hey, go check this out, see if the vehicle's still there. That's a delayed hit, of course, but it still gives us some type of lead to recover a stolen vehicle at that point.
So Colleen, us, and Temple?
And Bell County Sheriff's Department.
Thank you.
Yes.
I feel safer already.
So, Mr. Mayor, so the question, so does it have a logic on it so it matches the plate for the car instead of if they flip the plates? Does it have a logic that doesn't match up, that'll flag them?
You mean if the license plate is upside down?
No, if the license plate doesn't belong to that vehicle.
That it will not do, because it has to go, it's based off of solely the license plate information that's
right.
provided.
Okay, thanks.
But they do give us detailed information, so we see it. Honda and it's on a Cadillac.
Yeah,
we'll be able to figure it out that way.
Okay. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. How soon, if this is passed tonight, can we see this implementation?
The agreement is the first part of it, and then we have to get the equipment, so it's hard to tell you a hard date, but I would give a rough guess of the start of next year.
Okay.
January.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hallaby.
Sam Hallaby, Police 5. I just want to counter on Councilman Cantorino. What kind of warranty or what kind of maintenance agreement comes with this package?
So the, let me make sure I get it quoted correctly here. It basically will cover the actual cameras themselves, the software upgrades, the license keys, all of everything to operate the system is basically covered under that warranty that we will have for that. And that'll cover for the first year, and then after that, we can elect to purchase an extended warranty, which will cost a few thousand dollars because it's per camera. But after, we don't have to have it unless we choose to go that route.
Thank you. Okay, you good, Sam? Okay, good. Any other questions from the council? Okay, you have anything else to add on this item?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Thanks, Commander Steffick.
Thank you.
Okay, this is regular business to have a motion from the council. Councilmember Cantorino.
Yes, this is Tony Cantorino, Place 3. I make a motion to approve a resolution to authorize an agreement with Vigilant Solutions for the purchase and services related to the digital license plate reader program in the amount of $61,210 through the Homeland Security Grant, authorizing the city manager to sign and act on behalf of the city.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, Place 2. How do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, Place 2. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, Place 3. How do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, Place 3. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4. How do you vote?
Linda Nash, Place 4. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Sam Hallaby, Place 5. How do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, Place 5. Vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously, 5-0. Next item under regular business number 3, discuss and consider approving an appeal of the false robbery alarm service charge for Ellie Bohack at 403 Kodiak Circle, Harkrights, Texas, and take the appropriate action. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Section 99.08 of the City's Code of Ordinances grants an appeal process for false alarm charges. Appeals to false alarm charges must be made within 14 days of being given notice of a false alarm charge. By code, the city manager is the alarm administrator and issues the notice of false alarm charge, and the city council is the body that hears any appeals of the charge. Officer Corey Bates with the City of Harker Heights Police Department responded to a robbery alarm at the home of Ellie Bohack, 403 Kodiak Circle, Harker Heights, Texas, on July 18, 2022 at 12:48 p.m. No evidence of robbery was found. Accordingly, per 99.06 of the Code of Harker Heights and the city's fee schedule, Ellie Bohack was assessed a false alarm service charge of $75. The city mailed a letter to Ellie Bohack informing her of the fee on August 17th, 2022. On August the 23rd, 2022, the city received a letter from Ellie Bohack appealing the service charge assessment. Council, you do have that letter in your packet. On September 16th, 2022, a confirmation notice was sent to Ms. Bohack notifying her of the date and time that the appeal would be heard before the city council. Council, that concludes all my comments unless you have any questions specifically of me, and I know Ms. Bohack is here to represent herself on the appeal.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Mitchell on this item? Okay, again, this is regular business, but I do have a green sheet for Ellie Bohack, so if you'd please approach the podium, state your name and address for the record to address this item.
Okay, my name is Ellie Bohack, and I reside at 403 Kodiak Circle. And what else did you want to know?
Well, would you like to tell us some more? We have your letter here. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Okay, and you got a letter in front of you? Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm here, first of all, I would like to know why it was categorized as a robbery. I mean, who makes that decision? What is the difference between the burglary and the robbery? It was neither one. It was an honest mistake. I mean, I had company, and my company, he took me to the Nissan dealership to pick up my car. Of course, he let me out. I pay my bill. I come home. He is all shaky, and I'm sorry. He said, I opened the door, and of course, the alarm went off. He had no idea that the alarm even was set. But I do put my alarm on all the time when I leave the house. Of course, he didn't know what to do. He just told me I punched all kinds of buttons, and it was getting quiet. Naturally, it went to silent. But I did call right away in-house and told him what happened and not to send the police. Of course, the police apparently was already on the way. And when they came, I apologized. That was all I could do. And I'm very sorry. And I lived there for 17 years. And I'm sure you know I never had an alarm where the police had to come. I set it off occasionally, yes, but I cancel it right away. It never goes to the police. So this is the first time that the police had to come for a false alarm. I just feel like, I mean, come on, people. You shouldn't fine me $75. It's really not about the $75, but it's about the principle.
Mr. Mitchell, would you address her question?
Yes, Mayor, we will. I've got our PD is here, and I know they did some research into this, and so I'm going to let them speak directly to this case. So, Chief?
Good evening again.
Good evening.
Patel Hawkins, Police Chief. So, in this particular situation, the alarm company called in a burglary alarm around 12:48, mm-hmm. then a minute late. During the call that they were talking to our call taker, they upgraded the alarm to a duress. Around a minute later. So the alarm came in at 12:48 and then around 12:49, there was some kind of duress annotated from the home.
That was probably my friend pushing all the,
it probably was.
The buttons, you know.
And so with the duress alarm, that requires an urgent response from the police department. And it was canceled prior to our arrival. The only thing with that is, without the knowledge of police knowing that someone is being forced to enter some kind of code to cancel it, police still has an urgent response. Also, the alarm company, the telecommunicator from the police department, asked the alarm company if they contacted the key holder, and in particular, urgent duress response, the alarm company does not contact the key holder. And so, on the police side of things, the response is urgent to make sure that the citizen is okay.
But I apologized 100 times to you guys, and they were laughing it off, actually, you know, when they heard what happened and how it happened, and I never thought that I'm going to get a fine for having one time a false alarm. Well, the police had to come. I mean, I admit I opened my patio door and alarm is set. Of course, the alarm goes off, but I cancel it. I'm very sorry.
Even if you cancel, they're still going to come to make sure you're okay, to make sure nobody's forcing you to say you're okay.
So. Right. Well, I never had that happen. When the company calls and I tell them, give them my password, and it's always fine. But in this incident, I was driving home, and my friend, he doesn't live here, and he was all shook up that it happened to him. He didn't expect it. And you can imagine when somebody opens the door and then the sirens blur all over, and so it was not a nice thing for him. So, okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right. Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Just a quick question. Is this the only false alarm that was at your house?
Yeah, I never had one where the police had to come to my house. And I lived there 17 years next month.
Thank you.
Never, ever.
Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Nash.
This is Councilmember Nash, place four. And how long have you had this system, ma'am?
How long have you had
the alarm system?
Soon, right from the beginning. When my house was finished, built, and I moved in, I have the alarm. All that time.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Any other questions for the council? Thank you, Ms. Bohack. Thank you, Chief. Okay. This is regular business. To have a motion from the council. Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to make a motion to approve the appeal to dismiss the false robbery alarm service charge for Ms. Ellie Bohack at 403 Kodiak Circle, Harker Heights, Texas.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Nash.
This is Councilmember Nash, place four. I second the motion.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the appeal to dismiss the false robbery alarm. Any further discussion on the item? Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two. Mrs. Bohack. You understand why they had to come because of the nature of the alarm.
Well, I know I do not understand who made that decision that it was a robbery, because the burglary, I understand, you can have three false alarms.
Right, but when
so somebody must have decided it was a robbery.
What happens when you said your guest started pushing buttons on the console? That alerts the alarm company that something's wrong. And when they don't push the right code in, they might think that it is, but they have no way of knowing. And then it's in the police interest to come to you to make sure you're okay, because things do happen in this world where somebody's forcing you to push codes, or that's why, you know, and it takes a lot of resources from the city to do this. So it's so important that, you know, if you have house guests, you make sure they understand the nature of your alarm system, so that there is not a false alarm. Because what happens if they have a false alarm and they go to it, but somewhere else in the city there's another alarm and it's a real alarm, and then you've taken away an officer and something bad happens? That's the nature we're looking at. So we want to try to make sure that we're looking out for all the citizens, okay?
I understand, but also I called the company and canceled it and explained to them, and by the way, to call the police, not to send them. I mean, it's not that I didn't do what I needed to do.
Right.
When I knew what happened.
But I'm just trying to explain to you so you understand why we have to respond to it. Just in the event that something real is happening. We don't know. The police don't know. They're just trying to do their job. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on the item? Okay. I have a motion and a second. Again, any other discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, place two, how do you vote?
It's Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three, how do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, place three, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
Linda Nash, place four, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Sam Hallaby, place five, how do you vote?
Sam Hallaby, place five, vote yes.
Okay, thank you. The motion passes unanimously that we will approve your appeal. Thank you very much. Next item, item number four. Discuss and consider approving an appeal of the false robbery alarm service charge for Papa's Cafe at 302 Miller's Crossing, Arkwright, Texas, and take the appropriate action. City manager, and I have an affidavit, so Councilmember Hallaby will be stepping down for this item. Councilmember Hallaby? Yeah, you got to depart the chamber. City secretary will come get you.
There's a lot of food back there.
You can have your supper now. All right, Mayor and Council, this is similar to the last item. I'll just go over the particular facts of this case. Again, it's an alarm appeal. Officer Kelly Metris with the City of Harker Heights Police Department responded to a burglary alarm at the Papa's Cafe, 302 Miller's Crossing, here in Harker Heights on July 22, 2022 at 10:06 p.m. No evidence of burglary was found. Accordingly, per 99.06 of the Code of Harker Heights and the City's fee schedule, Papa's Cafe was assessed an alarm fee service charge of $50. The City mailed a letter to Papa's Cafe informing them of the fee on August 17, 2022. On August 26, 2022, the city received a letter or email from Beth Browell, Papa Cafe, appealing the service charge assessment. And on September the 16th, a confirmation notice was sent to Ms. Browell, notifying her of the date and time that this appeal will be heard before the City Council. And Council, you should have that in here as well, the response, I believe.
Okay.
Yes, you do. It's on page 100.
Right.
And that concludes my presentation, Mayor. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Councilmember.
Thank you. We don't have a green sheet on that, but is there an applicant or a representative for this item? Okay. And again, if you'll please come to the podium, state your name and address, and once you're done, see the city secretary, and she'll have you fill out a sheet for that. Okay.
Good
please
evening.
State your name and address for the record.
Beth Browell, and the business address.
Your address, wherever you.
Or my home.
Yeah.
Home, 126 West Mark Harper Arts.
Okay. And we have your letter in here. Is there anything else that you'd like to add regarding this this false alarm?
Not really. I mean, just that it was similar to the woman before me. It was the alarm company basically jumped the gun. They called me. It was Friday night, so I left probably around 9:30 p.m. And almost as soon as I hit the door, the alarm company called me saying that we had a back motion alarm go off. So I went right back up. Twice, actually, because after the first time I reset it, left again, they called again, I went back up. And I called the company back and said, you know, nothing's wrong, please, if there's any more back motion, disregard. You know, anything else, yes, call me, but nothing's wrong, you know. And since then, actually, the kitchen manager looked around, it was obvious something was wrong in the back. And we had items on a shelf that were covered in plastic, and I guess when the air kicks on, it waves the bags around and stops off the motion, but I mean, same as the woman before me, I asked them not to call, you know, nothing was wrong, and apparently y'all were called anyway, so, or the police were. I didn't see any police that evening when I went up, so I don't know if it was before I went up, after, I don't even know.
All right, anything else to expand upon the letter that you provided for us in our packet?
No.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Thank you, sir. Hi, thank you for being here. Did the same thing, weren't there a few different alarms?
You know, I guess so. There was a few prior to this. Yeah, same thing. But as you see, we haven't had any prior incidents or incidents since then, since the kitchen manager fixed the problem. I think we know what it was. But
so you pinpointed that the motion sensor was going off with the back?
I think so. I think there was maybe two before that. Is that correct?
I don't know. I read it already, and I couldn't remember.
It's always the same thing.
All right. I just remember in your letter you said the problem was fixed.
Yes,
you pinpointed that, and it hasn't happened since.
And, you know, I didn't want to hinder them or myself or anybody else involved in the whole thing, so I was considering switching companies if it continued, you know. So it was quite the hindrance.
Okay, you good? Mm-hmm. Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. In our packet, it states on page 95 that Papa's Cafe has had 5 prior burglary alarms in the past 12-month period with the dates listed below, October 17th, 2021, October 27th, 2021, October 28th, 2021, March 22nd, 2022, and May 28th, 2022. A courtesy letter informing Papa's Cafe of the fifth false burglar alarm was sent in May of 2022. And I understand that you were actually robbed.
Twice. By the same individual, yes, sir. And I do appreciate
you know, the police
the
is in the habit of coming out. Now, this was a burglar alarm, not a robbery alarm. Mm-hmm. It's the big difference there. A burglar alarm is, you know, a little bit lower priority.
Okay.
Whereas the robbery alarm is, they're coming because they don't know for certain if something's going on. But with your history of already having two real
things
happen, and then having a history of a numerous false alarms, they don't know if it's real or not. That's the problem.
So, you know, I guess part of this, me coming, wasn't saying that police did anything wrong. I did know, I realized that, and I do appreciate that since that's happened to us last summer, that they do patrol the area regularly, and I know that, and that's great, and I absolutely understand why they were called. You know, the issue is more with the company, you know, but I know what you're saying. They're going to come regardless of the company or not. It's just the way it is, you know.
Right.
So I'm not,
okay.
I'm not disputing that at all. I appreciate them taking care of us the way they do, but I believe I have the problem fixed. So.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? Councilmember Nash.
This is Councilmember Nash, place four. Excuse me. So, Ms. Burrow, you you stated on there that you had talked to the alarm company, ADT.
Yes, several times.
Asked them to call the police.
Yeah, only if it was a back motion, which was what kept happening. I figured it was something, you know. So. But I asked him not to call the police, period, that night, because it was over and over. So it was obvious there was a problem with the system. So, but I guess they did. I don't know exactly even when that occurred, because like I said, I didn't see police up there at all. So I don't know if it was before that. No idea.
Okay. So with an alarm system, with your contract on there, if, say that it was somebody just hiding in the back.
Right.
And you told the police, the ADT, the security company, not to call the police, and it really was a burglary or a robbery. We know that it's not now.
Right.
But we do also know that you have been robbed before.
Right.
So
right.
If it had been that night, as you said, and then you end up getting robbed. So I know that you're asking for the appeal for you not to pay it, but you do understand that, especially in your case, unlike the case before you, that this is even more serious. Because you have been robbed.
Absolutely, yeah.
And when the police come out, they're out there now. So is it $50? The $50 that, if it's voted on that it saves someone's life or it saves the property because the police do come out there, do you think that that's worth it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course it is, but at the same time, to answer your question, how do I, you know, I didn't assume or go in that building at all with the back motion going off without looking at my camera on my app, on the camera that I have a live feed. And I absolutely concur, camera motion. And as a matter of fact, that's how the guy got caught, because of our camera. Had there been an alarm at that time, when they called me, I looked where the motion was and I would have seen him. I could absolutely ID him right then and there, who he is, all that, and they could have, you know. But I never go inside the building or cancel the police call and tell them not to call without concurring absolutely with the live feed. You know, that way I'm not assuming.
Are you saying that because you have the live feed, when the security does go off, you have the capabilities to look and
that's
make
correct.
Sure that no one is in there?
Yes, ma'am.
So then your security company has that same capability?
No, ma'am. No, it's a whole separate no. But while I'm on the phone, you know, and I tell them I'm going in, I'm looking now, there's nobody there where your motion is, you know, the back motion's the kitchen. There's nobody there. I can see. It's alive. You know, I wouldn't go in if I couldn't do that, you know, and check. Because usually I'll go up and go in and check and reset it and make sure everything's okay.
Is
basically.
It the policy of your security company to take your word not to go in? Is
yes.
That something in the contract that they can't do that? If you say, oh, don't call the police because I see it.
Yeah,
because
and there's a passcode too, yeah. As far as I know, it is. You know, that's usually the way it works. That's why I don't know when. Chronologically, with the whole situation, they called the police. I don't know if I didn't answer or if it's, I don't know.
Okay. And my last question is, at what point, if another bag starts blowing because the air conditioner comes on and the police come out, at what point, how many more times should the police come out, or if they come out, that we should grant your appeal. So if it happens one more time, then we should not grant it, or two more times, or three more times. In your opinion, what is it?
Right, I would say one more, because like I said, I do appreciate they're coming, and that's not my dispute at all. I mean, it's not my business to waste their time. You know, I know what you're saying, yeah, but if it is one more time, my plans would be to change the company, because it's just a hindrance, you know, but I'm pretty sure we got it, hopefully.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No, sir.
The individual. Okay, thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, it's back to the council. Do I have a motion? Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
I'm so sorry. I had it right in front of me, and then I just flipped the page.
Page 96.
There we go. To have grace, we will. I'd like to make a motion to approve the appeal to dismiss the false burglar alarm service charge for Papa's Cafe at 302 Miller's Crossing, Harker Heights, Texas.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Cantorino.
This is Tony Cantorino, place three. I second the motion.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Councilmember Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two. My position on this is we have to be equal and fair to everybody in the city. You know, when we write an ordinance, we need to stick to the ordinance as far as how many alibis we give somebody for a false alarm. You know, you admitted that you had different things occur, you know, blowing in the wind or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's five opportunities there, and the city even gave you a letter after that fifth one saying, hey, you know, this is your fifth one. The next time you're going to get,
I did call the company when I got there, too, and said, hey, you know, I don't know why that looked. That's crazy anyway. A little motion like that would set off, but, I mean,
I know, but there,
I guess that's just how it
you
works.
Know, it's there to protect your business. And since then, you also installed cameras. Mm-hmm. But it's,
oh,
you know,
had the cameras.
It's really hard for us to try to stipulate, oh, you know, sometimes we take things into consideration of mitigating circumstances. But in this case, I feel that, you know, the city gave you an awful lot of opportunities, and to me, it just doesn't seem fair to other citizens if we keep granting, waivers for conditions that, you know, may or may not be within your control. But obviously, you did make corrective actions on those other things. So that's just my position on it. You know, we have to be firm with the ordinances we make. If there's so many appeals coming for an ordinance, then at that point, we need to relook the ordinance. Maybe it's not right.
Maybe
we should rescind the ordinance and change it. But I think it's only fair to other citizens that have been fined and had to pay that fine that we stick firm to our ordinances. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion on the item? Mm-mm. Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'll poll the council. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
Ms. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, I vote yes.
Okay, yes to approve. Okay, and again, Michael Blomquist, place two, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two, I vote no.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantorino, place three, how do you vote?
Tony Cantorino, place three, I vote yes.
Thank you. Linda Nash, place four, how do you vote?
This is Linda Nash, place four, I vote no.
Okay, thank you. We have two yes and two no, and that's a tie. Since Councilmember Hallaby has stepped down and the mayor votes to disapprove the appeal. So the vote is 3-2 to disapprove the appeal.
Okay.
Next item under regular business is to receive and discuss the city manager's report. And we'll wait for Mr. Hallaby to return.
All right, thank you, Mayor and Council. For our citizens that are in the audience, there are copies of the city manager's report on that small table right before you exit the double door, so please grab a copy of that. I'll just be hitting the highlights in there tonight. Council, I just want to direct you to right off the top there, you see we had an employee spotlight there. We had a kudos celebration recently. It's a new program that we put together. Our HR department's been tracking kudos that our employees get, and if they hit a certain number, it triggers kind of a special celebration for that employee. It's kind of a surprise to them, but it also benefits their entire department. So in this case, it was ice cream at the PD, so the entire PD got to celebrate with Destiny Barton, who was our first one to hit that number of kudos. We do get a lot of kudos on Destiny. She does a lot of good work and very well deserved, but a neat event there, and we look forward to, you'll be seeing this come up pretty much monthly. Moving to our library department, I want to point out that our library has lots of spooky events in October. You see there zombie hunts and spooky story writing classes and Haunted Heights kids funds. And a discussion with a cryptozoologist. So lots going on at the library, so check out their webpage for more information on the many activities they have going on. Council, I want to point out kind of the last page there under special events. You will note that our fall community garage sale will be held on Saturday, October the 1st, from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. throughout the city of Harker Heights, and there is a map online of that, so you can make that available to yourself. But again, a lot going on that day around the city. Also, just want to point out, you see we have many more Halloween events. You see we have a zombie hunt that will be on October 7th and October 8th. Reservations are required for that. Also, we have a spooky decorating competition for homes and businesses. And then we have Bring Your Family to the Spooktacular Haunted Heights. And this event will be held on Saturday, October the 29th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Carl Levin Park at 400 Miller's Crossing. And activities include family fun activities, games, vendors, and more. And be sure to wear your costume to go trick-or-treating. Council, that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, Councilmember Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. Mr. Mitchell, I believe on the 29th at the Farmer's Market here in Harker Heights, they'll also have dress up there in the Farmer's Market, so there'll be activities for the kids as well there.
Very good.
Okay, anything else for the city manager? Okay, moving on to paragraph 9, number 1, council member closing statements. Council member Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Councilman Place 2. The short report, the two farmers markets that said have occurred since the last council meeting were on the 17th and 24th. I attended both of those, and both of them were very, very well attended by vendors. It was amazing how many vendors we had on the last two farmers markets. So there's a lot of people coming out, setting up, bringing out their goods and wares. So please come out and help out the local vendors and participate in the farmers market here in Harker Heights at the City Hall. And then yesterday I had the honor of attending the Harker Heights High School Homecoming Pep Rally. It was very well attended by citizens and all the team events and sports from Harker Heights High School. So it was a really fun event, getting to see the Knights out there in action, running across and showing who they are and their spirit. So thank you. Come out and support the Harker Heights High School sporting events.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Cantorino.
Hi, this is Tony Cantorino, Place 3. I'd like to say that I attended an animal advisory committee meeting. It was really neat. I chair that committee now, and I had a really great time learning about the things that our animal shelter does for the animals. It just amazing at how intense it is and how many volunteers that we have that just donate their time and resources taking care of the animals. So that was really an eye-opening experience. I also attended a meeting with State Representative Hugh Schein at hosted by our Chamber of Commerce. Gina opened up around 7:30 in the morning for all of us to get there and meet. It was a great meeting. Mr. Mayor was there, and so was Mr. Bark. And the meeting covered a lot of things, but it mainly covered the state of the drought and how it affects our groundwater replenishment and then and the condition of our surface waters. So it was really, really interesting. I learned a ton of stuff about how different entities use our water. Then I also, of course, attended the farmer's market, so with my dog.
Okay, anything else?
That's it.
Anything else from the other council members? Okay, moving on. We'll move on to item number 2, update announcements from the mayor. On September 15th, I attended the Harker Heights Cares meeting at the Harker Heights Activity Center. And again, a lot of organizations working together, some good presentations by PD as far as our community services, and also for Navy Federal Credit Union as far as the outreach and the things that they do in our community. On the 16th, I attended the 1st Cavalry Division 101st Birthday Parade at Cooper Field, Fort Hood. On the 19th, I attended the Harker Heights Chamber of Commerce Legislative Update by Texas Representative Hugh Schein and a presentation by Dirk Aaron, who's the general manager of the Clearwater Underground Water Conservation District. And again, we all know that we're in a drought. I encourage everybody, read everything you can about water, about Harker Heights water, about WCID number one, about Clearwater, about Brazos River Authority, and all of those things, because that's our future going forward, and we need to be very much informed on how we use water, and especially our need for it for agriculture. On September the 20th, attended our council workshop and our tour of Chaparral Road. On September the 21st, attended the Clean Temple Metropolitan Planning Organization, the Transportation Policy Planning Board, where I'm the chairman, and then also attended the new member workshop. On September the 24th, attended the TEDx Harker Heights Proclamation at Central Texas Home Builders Association, and Mayor Pro Tem McCann provided an outstanding welcome to that audience and all the speakers that was broadcast throughout the globe, I guess. So it's awesome, but good job on that as far as you're welcome. On the September the 26th, attended the Harker Heights Community Homecoming Rally at Harker Heights High School. And again, like others, like Councilmember Blomquist and Councilmember Nash was there as well. We need to get behind our Knights. We got a special thing here in our community. And even though, as we talked to Dr. Kraft, all those schools are part of KISD, but those are our schools. And the thing is, we should treat them likewise. Any other items for that are on our agenda here, Mr. Mitchell?
No, sir, Mayor.
Okay, that being said, it's 6:06 and we're adjourned.